content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. From the sun to the plant to you, go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all the products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic combining spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Find Terraflora and the full line of products at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, the new standard in pet food, the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. Crazy Water, infused by Mother Nature, not some random factory. Paleo Magazine, now all digital. Go to paleomagazine.com to subscribe. The Wellbeing Journal, Veg World Magazine, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorne Research. Visit our dispensary at oneliferadio.com for 20% off and free shipping. You can find more information on all of our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the oneliferadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Christina Ray. She's with us again today. She is just stepping in for Junior. She's actually the producer of the very popular Ben and Skin Show on 97.1. How you doing today, Christina?
I'm fantastic. Always happy to be here.
Yeah, me too. Always, always, always. And we are live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We have a great show coming up today. I always try to put on the best people, the best experts, and that would include Tina Burnett. She's coming up here in just a second. I've got Eva Cruz at the half. She is going to be talking about plant-based eating. We've never had her on the show before. I met her at that film, that very controversial film that played at North Park. And Tina, you probably can remember it. It was about plant-based versus meat eating, and it had everybody up in a stir. Can you guys remember the name of it?
I remember, but I'm not remembering the name of the movie. Was it a documentary or something?
Well, I say movie. It was a documentary in a movie house. But I'll pull it up here in a minute. But anyway, that's where I met her, and I'm looking forward to having her on the air for the first time. And I always love being on the air with you, Tina. And for those of you maybe joining us for the first time, Tina Burnett her name is Tina Burnett Allen as well. Don't want to discount your wonderful husband, Mike.
He would appreciate that.
Yes. But Tina Burnett is amazing. She's my personal trainer and has been for many years. She has a bachelor's of kinesiology. She's also certified strength conditioning specialist, and she's also certified in biomechanics. And Tina has been in the fitness industry for over 30 years, teaching cardiovascular classes at several of Dallas's top studios and health clubs, as well as instructing and developing resistance training programs for individuals and groups in the gym and in the home. She's also been named top female personal trainer in DFW by the Personal Trainers Hall of Fame. You can contact her at tbfitnesspro@gmail.com. That's tbfitnesspro@gmail.com. I love what we're talking about today. And you actually, when you trained me yesterday, this is what we did. Our topic today is free weights and why balance training is so important. And it really, really is. So let's dig into this. What is balance training, first of all, for those that don't know, Tina, and why is it so important?
Well, basically, balance training is just performing exercises that help improve your perception or your awareness of the position and the movement of your body. So an example is like, I was just thinking about how you do so much work around your house and you've got all those animals and you're constantly running around like crazy. And, you know, how sometimes we like, you've slipped a couple times or maybe you just lose your balance. And a lot of people, you know, they say most accidents happen at home.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
True, you know, you fall off your step or you run to catch the dogs from fighting and you hurt your foot. I mean, all the little things that can happen. And just doing exercises that that help improve your balance can help you just in everyday life.
Well, Tina, to your point, it can help with the housework too. Just a few minutes ago, I'm literally in a sweat right now because I was running around my house so fast this morning for the last hour and a half trying to knock out a bunch of housework. I stepped in a puddle of pee and I didn't want the pee to go all the way across my whole living room and kitchen. So I hopped on one leg from the back door where the piano is all the way to the kitchen sink. Now, you've been in my home. You know how far that is. I could have never done that. Could have never done that without having incredible balance, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it can help you avoid injuries, and it also can, I'll tell it in a little bit later, I'll talk about how it can actually make you stronger, faster by doing these balance training exercises.
Well, and why is training with free weights as opposed to like, you know, a, what do you call it? Help me out here.
Weight training machine.
Yeah, weight training machine. Why is that so important to do that? It's so much better for the body for balance and training than the weight machines.
Well, so if you're using machines, and when I say machines, I mean like where you're sitting down and you're, you know, pulling a weight or pushing a weight or, you know, doing a squat, a leg press or something like that. There's nothing wrong with those, but those don't really help. You're supported. So you're not having to balance your body weight. But when you're using free weights and standing, like, for example, you know, we do a lot of lunging, right, Bernadette?
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, and lunges are a type of balance-type exercise because when you're having to move a weight, but then you're also having to use other muscles that are stabilizers just to hold you upright, literally, that's working on your balance. I mean, you can take it to as far as, you know, people think, well, I thought you'd have to be like standing on a BOSU balance trainer. You know, the BOSU is the half fit ball with the round board over it where you kind of have to stand on it and it wobbles and you balance. I mean, yes, that's balance training, but you are doing balance training just doing lunges and planks and other exercises where you're having to, you know, it's kind of like, you know, yesterday you were doing, I was making you do the step up onto the bench. Now I made it tougher because I had a band that I was pulling away from you, but you were bobbling and wobbling and just having to, that balance up there is hard, right?
Well, I felt like a horse.
That's what's so good.
Like a horse with that thing around me.
Yeah, but it's so good. It's really good, you know, to do stuff like that and add the resistance bands and stuff. But you know, I love to do a lot of unilateral work, which means, you know, one side at a time, one leg at a time, which is like split squats where you have one foot up behind you and you're squatting just on one leg. That's balance. And even if you don't add weight to it, for some people that exercise in itself is hard without even adding any extra free weights.
Well, and as you said, you know, you said that balance training can help to prevent injury. It really can. Do you remember when you first started training me that was the first thing you did was the BOSU balance? You had me go and get on the top part of it, the hard piece of plastic, and go down into a squat. And at first, I just wobbled all over the place. I could barely stay on it. But after a few weeks, it was amazing how my body adapted.
Yeah, well, because it's repetition that trains the nervous, well, I say nervous system, but it's really your neuromuscular system is brain to muscle. You have motor neurons and you have, you know, your muscles kind of talk to your brain, and your brain tells your muscles what to do. But if you've never done something and you're trying to develop a new motor pattern, the brain has to learn that. And by repetition, doing it over and over and over like you did, you'll get to where all of a sudden it's easy. Whereas when you first tried, you were wobbling, and most people do when they try to go down or even just stand on a BOSU. For a lot of people, that's hard. But once they get the brain good at activating the right muscles through that neuromuscular system, then it's all of a sudden you start having more balance. It's just, you just got to do it over and over until you get it. It's like a baby learning to walk. They don't have that motor pattern in their brain when they're born. They have to, you know, sometimes it takes them weeks of trying to walk and falling and trying to walk, and all of a sudden they get it. And that's just developing that neuromuscular coordination.
And that's a great comparison. It is, because that's what it feels like. And Christina, I have to bring you into the mix. Do you work on your balance? Do you do any kind of balancing exercises?
You know, I try to do yoga. I just took a big bite of a sandwich. I'm so sorry. I try to do yoga, but I am going snowboarding here in December. And so that's all I can think about is I have to work on my balance so I don't break a leg or anything like that,
oh,
you know?
Well,
have you snowboarded before?
It's been years now, maybe 2-3 years ago.
Oh, wow. Well,
you're going to get a lesson?
Yeah.
Yes, I definitely need a refresher when I get there.
I would get at least one lesson the first day.
Well, and you're an avid
on it.
You're an avid skier, Tina. So, and that's yes. that. You know what I was going to say. You know, balance. The thing about balance is it is. It keeps you. It really helps you to keep your body youthful and spry, because that's why kids are so flexible and can get on a skateboard or a ski board or whatever and navigate really easily because of that. That their bodies are so young because they constantly are working on their balance, right?
That's right. Absolutely. I think even as adults, so I tell my clients this all the time when they first learn an exercise and they're having a hard time with the coordination factor. And, because you know how I train. I don't use machines. I don't like using machines. Once in a while, I'm at the gym. But we do everything, body weight, free weight, kettlebells. And when you first learn something, even as adults, we have to relearn maybe sometimes motor patterns. Maybe we played sports when we were young, but then we didn't do anything for a long time. You kind of have to retrain the brain, as I like to call it. And then sometimes you're learning a whole new movement that you've never done ever. And so it's always good to continue to challenge yourself with different exercises. Because a lot of people say, well, I don't like this exercise. And I'm like, well, you don't like it because you can't do it very well.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do it, you'll like it better because you'll get better at it and it won't be so hard.
Well, and it actually helps with your brain, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's just a part of your brain that you're just getting stronger and developing and getting, the more motor patterns you create in your brain, the better movement you're going to have in general. And my next thing I was going to talk about was just, again, is about injury prevention. Balance training helps increase your body awareness. And sometimes I have people new clients that come to me and just have zero awareness of their, it's kind of like some people can dance and some people just can't dance.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just don't have the coordination, but it can be learned. You just have to use your brain and get your brain better at it. somebody that's uncoordinated can become coordinated, but it's just going to take some work. Some people more work than others.
I love talking about this, and we've got lots more coming up to talk about. We're also going to try to talk about how long does it take to lose muscle, because that's a big thing too, especially as you get older. And just in general, it's good to keep yourself muscular and strong. So we're going to go to break. More coming up with Tina Burnett. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, baby, when I turn it I want to sing instead of
go for it, Bernadette.
I don't know the words. Or I probably would.
It makes it better, doesn't it, though?
I know, right? Instead of just going, forget it. I'm digging a hole right now. Welcome back, everyone. Christina, you're an instigator. I love it, though. She's amazing. It's so great to be on the air with you here live from Dallas, Texas, broadcasting, and it's just great to be on radio. It is. Radio is the original social media, everyone, so just remember that. And in fact, Christina, last night, and we're actually going to talk about it tomorrow, I watched television for the first time in other than football or maybe the Oscars or something, mm-hmm. in years, and I was disgusted with what I saw.
Oh, no.
I'm
going to
be talking
Did you watch The Bachelorette?
No, I didn't watch The Bachelorette.
Okay.
I don't even know what it was. It was a medical show that came on right after The Voice because our family friend Ryan Berg is supposed to be on it. He's a local artist. You may know him since you're a guitarist as well. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. He's actually played at my house twice. He's a great guy. But we wanted to watch, and cheer him on. And anyway, I think he's on next week, but
awesome.
Somehow I got it mixed up or somebody did. But Now I can't even remember what I was talking about. What was I even talking about?
Well, you said that you had watched TV for the first time in just forever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So tomorrow, Dr. Laura Whatley's on the show and Dr. Neil Barnard, who is amazing. He is just an amazing doctor. But we're going to be talking about that television experience and the future of this country. So you might want to tune in. It's going to be juicy.
Definitely.
But and Junior will be back. And I'll miss you, Christina.
I'll miss
but
you, too.
I love being on the air with you and Tina Burnett. If you're just now joining us, Tina Burnett has a bachelor's of kinesiology. She is a certified strength and conditioning specialist, and she is also certified in biomechanics. She has been named the top female personal trainer in DFW by the Personal Trainers Hall of Fame, and you can contact her at tbfitnesspro@gmail.com. We're talking about free weights and why balance training is so important. So where do you want to pick up, Tina, on this?
I want to pick up just about touch again on how balance training can actually make you stronger. And because the better your balance is and the more control you have over that, the more efficiently you can do exercises so you can get stronger. So when you get better at activating, you know, we talked earlier in the first segment about stabilizing muscles and how, why that's important. You know, we hear the word core, work out your core. Well, most of your core muscles are all, most of them are mainly meant for stabilization. So all of your abdominal muscles, your rectus abdominis, your obliques, internal and external, your transverse abdominis are all meant to help stabilize your spine. But what a lot of people don't realize also is that your glutes are also part of your core. They all attach, those glute muscles attach up into the base of the sacrum, the pelvis. So those muscles are super important to be strong. But a lot of times people aren't good at activating those muscles because, and that's where the balance aspect, training aspect comes in, is the more you can do more balance type training, doing free weights more and doing lots of, you know, lunges and single leg work or getting on a boost or whatever, it forces you to activate some of those little smaller stabilizer muscles that you otherwise wouldn't be activating. Number one, if you weren't working out in general, specifically with weights and dumbbells and stuff, but if you were just using machines, you're not using as many of your stabilizing muscles. So by getting better at activating the muscles, that's how they get stronger. It's called neural adaptation. You have to have the neural adaptation is basically when the brain learns, adapts, and figures out how to really activate a certain muscle or muscle group. So that's why once you get neural adaptation, you can start getting stronger. If you can't get a muscle stronger, if you're not good at activating it, does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's so good for you. And I love that you used the word knit, because all those muscles really are knit together and for a reason, to keep your whole body strong. That includes your posture. You can't have good posture if you don't have strong glutes and abs, right?
That's right. Yeah, and like we were talking yesterday. We were talking about just posture in general and learning how to just on a daily, the more you pull your shoulder blades down and, you know, back towards the spine and down as much as you can, that repetition will get you where that is, get stronger. And you also, it should feel more natural to be holding your posture versus being slouched over. You know, when we get stressed or we're sitting too much all day at a desk and you stand up and your posture, you're just, you know, you're slouching and people wonder why their upper traps, you know, their neck is tight and hurts. So just training those muscles that stabilize and even just thinking about it during the day, the more you think about it and the more you repeat that motion, the better your brain will get it, keeping it that way and keeping your posture.
What do you think about that thing that I don't know the name of it, but it's basically a device that you put between your shoulder blades to remind you constantly to sit up straight. Do you know anyone that's ever used that and how effective it is?
I don't know. No, I haven't known anybody that's used it. I know what you're talking about. You know, I mean, I guess that's fine, but the way I look at it, in my opinion, it's kind of like, well, if it's doing it for you, if it's pulling your shoulder blades back and holding them in place for you, you're not really activating the muscles yourself and pulling them back. And
well,
so you're not getting that brain activating the muscle. You just got something doing it for you. So you got to make your brain activate those muscles yourself. That's how you're going to get stronger and improve your posture. That's my opinion on it.
No, absolutely. I don't disagree with you, but I think the device actually, when you're slouching, it like puts a little buzz in your back, like, hey, sit up, you know, to remind you to sit up.
So it's not pulling your shoulders back for you.
No, it's not.
Okay.
But,
well, that's
I've thought about getting one many times. But it is good to sit up straight. It really is. And shoulders back, suck your gut in, right? Keep yourself strong.
It's not suck it in. It's activate and engage your abdominal muscles. And this is how I explain that to people. Because sucking in isn't the same as tightening or tensing the muscles. So if someone was to come up and punch you in the stomach, you would tighten to resist their punch. Like if someone say, hey, let me feel you. I do that to my son. I'll punch him in the gut because he's got such strong muscles in his abs, and he'll tighten his abs, and I'll hit it, break my fingers. But that's what you think about activating the muscles. It's engaging them. And some people that don't work out, don't know how to even do that. So that's why I train a lot of people to learn how to be better at tightening the abs and creating that, engaging the abs. Because it takes practice, just like all the other stuff you have to do with your muscles.
You know, it's funny, that little story you just told about your son. It just brought me back to my childhood. My brothers, who were much older than me, were all into karate and all that stuff. And Christina, I don't know if you have a brother. Tina, I know you do. My brothers used to do that to me all the time. Come up and go, punch me as hard as you can, And then,
I had sisters. We did not do that.
I had sisters too, but... Oh my gosh. Yeah, we had a big family. We have a big family. But so what, before we move on to talking about how long does it take to lose muscle, which a lot of you are going to be surprised when you hear what Tina has to say. What are some examples of balance training exercises that people out there listening can do? And also, going to ask you live on the air. I'm going to swing by your house later and get some examples and film you and put it out on social. Is that okay?
I might be carving pumpkins, but you've got to let me know when you're coming.
All right.
But give having us some a pumpkin carving party.
Okay. So let's do it.
Exercise, I already mentioned the lunge. And a lunge that we do too, that where you have the gliding disc and you put your back foot on the disc and you do a reverse lunge. So you're gliding your foot back instead of stepping back into a reverse lunge. That's a great balance activity. Bird dogs, a lot of people know what those are. You're on your hands and knees and you extend. You'll extend your right arm up and your left leg up at the same time, and then you put them down, then you switch. That's another great one for core balance. A plank on your hands, so you, instead of being on your elbows, you get up on your hands and feet, and you reach one arm out in front of you and put it back down, and you reach the other arm up. Because when that arm goes up, your body has to activate all those stabilizers to keep you from wobbling and falling over, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then one more I'll throw out there is a single leg deadlift, and basically that's a lot more advanced, but you stand on one leg and you basically bend your body forward as your back leg goes up. So instead of doing a straight legged deadlift with both legs where your knees are just slightly bent and you're bending forward at the hip, you have to lift one leg up behind you. And that's a much more advanced balancing. It's a great one, but it's a tough one. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Well, and I'm going to say yoga. Christina, you brought up yoga, and you have an amazing physique. She's in amazing shape. You put that post out in a bikini over the summer. You looked amazing. Okay, so you do yoga. Doesn't yoga naturally do that, Tina? And Christina, give you like that, just that. Tight body, if you will, right? Through the balance.
I've just started taking private lessons with my friend David Wellick, and I go again tomorrow. And I'm realizing how it's very different because I've never been big into yoga, but just having to hold and stabilize movements, for an extended period of time, whether it's 30 seconds or a minute and a half or whatever, it's hard and it's different. Mm-hmm. It's very different. I mean, because it's isometric contraction of muscle. So the muscle contracts and then holds. You're not shortening and lengthening the muscle like if you're doing a bicep curl. So it's very different. It's challenging, but I'm excited to be starting to do it because I think it's awesome. It's great for mobility and stability and balance. Yeah.
Yeah, I've practiced before with Patty DiBernardo. I haven't done it in a while. I did yoga about a month ago for a couple of weekends, and then I'm back to, just trying to work in exercise and movement wherever I can. Christina, how often do you do yoga?
I'll do it every other day. So like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I try to go to the gym and do, like strength training stuff. And then every Tuesday, Thursday, I do the yoga.
Nice.
Yeah, and thank you for the compliment.
And that's what you should be doing is yoga is a great, but it's not the only, you want to do other, you want to do the strength training and then do the yoga, which is that those two, that combination is perfect. You know, I think there's people that just do yoga every single day and that's all they do. It's not going to, you're not going to have a balanced fitness with doing this yoga by itself.
I would agree. And muscle is important. That's one of the things that we want to talk about before we go to break here in just a couple minutes. So how long does it take to lose it? Let's talk about this. What about muscle? And the name of that movie, by the way, was Game Changers. And it was very controversial because of what we're going to be talking about. Because the people, a lot of people out there listening feel that you cannot build muscle without eating meat. And that's not true. We're going to have, well, this is a great.
I'm still going to eat meat. But
you can eat. I don't have a problem with anybody eating meat. It's not my body. I take care of my own temple. You take care of yours, you know. But but it's great to have a nice civil conversation about it. So this is how you have a civil conversation when two people disagree about something. So let's talk about it. How many hours or days of inactivity can one go, Tina, before they start losing muscle mass?
Well, what's been found that after about 72 hours or 3 days, you will start gradually losing muscle mass if you're not doing your normal training, you know, whether it specifically, you know, resistance training. But it really can, and even your heart will show a decrease in the amount of blood it pumps per beat because your heart's a muscle too. So even like if you don't do anything for 3 days, you go back in to work out, you might find that you get out of breath a little more easily just from those 3 days of not working out. But before it typically can be up to 3 to 4 weeks before you truly start noticing that loss, you know, like as far as how you look, you know, if you look at your legs, you're like, wow, my legs are, I can tell I'm losing my muscle, or, you know, your strength will start to deteriorate. 72 hours, but really 3 to 4 weeks. But there's a lot of factors that can determine how quickly you lose muscle mass. And I'll run through those because I know I don't have a lot of time. How long and consistently you've been training is a big one. So someone like me that I've been working out for years and years and years, I have a nice baseline of muscle that even if I take off, it's like I'm getting my hip surgery in February, my hip replacement surgery, I'm going to not be able to work out for 6 weeks. So I'm building for longer because if I've been working out for a while, I'm not going to have the deterioration that someone who hasn't been working out consistently. The other thing is your diet. Adequate protein, speaking of, like we just talked about, is key for building and maintaining muscle mass. So if you're like, even if you're going through a period where you can't work out for some reason, if either you're sick or you are injured or you had surgery, it's important that you get enough amino acids to help you not lose the muscle even faster. Because if you're not getting the protein you need, even if you're not active, you need to you'll lose muscle faster if you're at rest. Your age is another thing. As you age, you begin to lose motor neurons, and there's a drastic decrease between ages 60 and 70 because motor neurons transmit impulses from the spinal cord that tell our muscles to contract, which is what I was just talking about, neuromuscular, you know, the brain to the muscles. So when you lose motor neurons as you age, it becomes harder to recruit muscle fibers. So if you can't recruit muscle fibers, then you can't break them down and rebuild them to grow back bigger and stronger. So strength training is key as you get older. So older people should be doing more strength training than anything else. Anybody over 50 or 50, really over 40. And then the last thing is just your gender, you know, your sex. Men have more natural testosterone, which helps them maintain muscle better than women. Mm-hmm. So women tend to lose muscle a lot more quickly and more easily than men in a state of inactivity. So there you have it.
Yeah. Wow. What a great chat this has been. So much information, Tina. I really appreciate it. And I know that our listeners do too. I learned a lot. I did. I thought I knew it all. No, I'm joking. There's a lot I don't know. And certainly about on this topic. You're the expert here for sure. Tina Burnett, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and I'll see you later, alligator.
See you Friday.
No, I'm going to come get some video today after the show.
All right. And carve some pumpkins, don't forget.
And carve some pumpkin, And maybe have a little fun. Okay. We'll be right back. Tina, I'll see you later. Okay. We've got Eva Cruz coming up. We're going to be talking about plant-based eating. She's a nutrition counseling specialist. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Red Wine. Let's go to the beach, each, let's go get a wave. They say what they gonna say. Have a drink, clink, found a Bud Light. Bad bitches like me, it's hard to come by. The Patron, let's go get it down. The sound, yes, I'm in the zone. Is it 2, 3, leave a good tip. I'ma blow all of my money.
money and don't get
paid.
On Facebook, hit like and follow us at One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to One Life Radio. We are live from Dallas, Texas. This is Bernadette with Christina, and our special guest today is Eva Cruz. She is a plant-based nutrition counseling specialist, health coach, and the founder of Nutrition for Better Living. She began her training as a health coach at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition in New York City, where she studied several methods for eradicating and preventing chronic illness with plant food. Eva also studied plant-based nutrition at the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies in New York and at the Stanford School of Medicine. She holds a bachelor's degree in psychology from Southern Methodist University, that's SMU, right here in Dallas, Texas. Her website is nutritionforbetterliving.com, and you can also find her on Instagram at nutritionforbetterliving. An honor to have you on the show, Eva. It's so good to talk to you. How are you doing today?
Hi, how are you? I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Really
good.
Thank you
for this amazing introduction. I love that.
Well, I love having you on the air. And we met through your my dear friend, Fitz Lauder, who I've known for years, at the Game Changers documentary, is I believe, where we first met, that very controversial documentary that was premiered at North Park here in Dallas. But, you know, you've got an amazing background. And through your studies, what health issues have you found to be directly tied to diet?
Oh, that's a not a million-dollar question. That's a trillion-dollar question. Yes, what I have found out about what health issues are directly to a diet, it's all forms of chronic illness, forms of autoimmune conditions.
Okay, and so chronic illness like what? Like diabetes, heart disease, all those things?
Absolutely. I have been in business for almost a year and a half, and I am blessed and grateful that my community have trusted me with teaching them how to eat healthy by educating them. And when these people are unfortunately suffering, not just with diabetes, not just with high blood pressure, not just with autoimmune disease such as thyroid issue, but also with cancer, also with chronic illness, acne, so you name it, obesity.
Acne. Okay, interesting. Acne. So let's talk about that for a second. You know, a lot of teenagers have acne. Most people say, well, you got to quit eating so much sugar. Is that really at the root of it, or are there other issues that are associated with problematic acne?
Based on what I have read and based on medical, amazing research studies, acne is based on all the dairy, dairy products. It is all related with meats. It's all related with processed foods. But most importantly, I would like to touch here is that it's related to inflammation. When we have our microbiome, inflamed, it's a root for, we give a root to the illness to grow. And acne is one of them.
Well, you know, Dr. Neil Bernard is on the show tomorrow. I know that you know who he is, and he's a New York Times best-selling author. He wrote the book The Cheese Trap and a lot of other books that I'm looking at in preparation for tomorrow's show. But why is dairy so bad for our health and addicting, I might add?
Absolutely. Yeah, dairy is so bad for us because all the additives, all the hormones, all the preservatives, but most importantly, all the antibiotics they put in the cows, they inject them in the cows for them not get sick, because as I'm sure you have seen some pictures or some videos about how raise the cows in this country. Mm-hmm. It's so unsanitary. They are so tight. Where they raise the cows, it's super dirty. So of course they don't want them to the cows to get sick. So how can they prevent that? Number one, by putting the antibiotics.
Absolutely.
And number two, also the antibodies, what it does is they're fattening them off.
Mm-hmm.
And if we consume dairy and if we consume animal product, guess what? We are getting that form of antibiotics in our body.
Absolutely. And the cows have chronic mastitis. And so you are ingesting when you're getting cheese that's not. I don't want to broad brush here and say all cheese. Some cheese that is produced in small batches naturally where, you know, it's not the industry. But as the industry as a whole, the dairy industry, there's bacteria like pus from the breast. Just like when a woman has mastitis or any mammal has mastitis, that goes into the milk. It's absolutely in there.
Absolutely.
And it's really not good for you. It's not good for the cow. It's not good for you. And as I said, you know, it is almost in all of the dairy industry, right?
All, 100%. And what I'm telling you right now, Dr. Neil Bernard will testify also that tomorrow.
Yeah.
You will hear this again.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more with Eva coming up here in just a minute. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. We're going to go to a quick break and we'll be right back.
We go together, better than birds of a feather, you and me. We change the weather. Yeah. I'm feeling heat in December when you found me. I've been dancing on top of cars and stumbling out of bars. I follow you through the dark, can't get enough. You're the medicine and the pain, the tattoo inside my brain. And baby, you know it's obvious. I'm a sucker for you. Say the word and I'll go anywhere blindly. I'm a sucker for you.
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Christina, and our special guest today is Eva Cruz. She is a plant-based nutrition counseling specialist, health coach, and the founder of Nutrition for Better Living. She holds a bachelor's degree in psychology from Southern Methodist University, and she also studied plant-based nutrition and at the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies in New York and at the Stanford School of Medicine. She began her training as a health coach at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition in New York City, where she studied several methods for eradicating and preventing chronic illness with plant food. Such an honor to have you back with us, or have you on for the first time. And after the break, it's great to talk about this. It really is plant-based eating. Okay, so everyone seems to be tired and really having a lot of difficulty sleeping. Do you think that it's mostly tied to diet?
Absolutely. I get to hear that at my office every day. For example, people come to see me, even if I would like you to help me to change my eating habits because I can't sleep. And when I'm awake, I feel like I need to go back. I need to take a nap. And I always try to explain my clients or the people who are seeking my help, it's that I tell them if they just by changing their eating habits, just by changing the foods that they put into their plate. And what I mean by this, I mean that adding more legumes, adding more vegetables, adding more seeds, people feel much better. People feel, the easy way for me to describe is that we feel more energized.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you are in the better mood as opposed to having this heavy lunch. And I'm sure you have heard this. You have heard this before, or you have felt this, Bernadette. When we have a lunch and it's heavy in cheese, it's heavy in processed foods, or it's a lunch that is around meat. Mm-hmm. How do you feel afterwards? Don't you feel tired?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't you feel like don't you feel like it's noon and you are like, oh, I'm so ready to take a nap.
Oh,
let's go to buy a coffee right down the street because I need to keep myself busy for the rest of my day. So guess what? That is so related with the foods that we put on our plate.
Oh, yeah. I heard it early on as a child. My father, he wasn't a vegan, but, you know, we had meat once a week. And my father used to go into this big explanation about, I can hear him doing it with, well, you know, look at the cucumber and the salad, you know, and it doesn't rot or stink, you know, it can sit in the bowl, you know, for hours and it's fine, you know, or overnight, whatever. And then he would go into explanations about the meat, you know, sitting in your body and how long it took to process it. And, you know, I heard it early on as a kid, but you know, so many people really, I don't think, understand the benefits of eating a plant-based diet. And it is related to a lot of diseases. And you recently posted on Instagram about breast cancer in the U.S. So do you believe that our diet can prevent or help someone recover from breast cancer?
Absolutely. 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 There are such a beautiful, wonderful, amazing, brilliant medical research out there that has proven that when with the foods that we put on our plate, it has the power to turn the gene to turn on and off the gene that is feeding these chronic conditions, in this case, breast cancer. Yes, ma'am. Why? Because unfortunately, let's go back again, what is causing breast cancer or heart disease or thyroid issue or dementia, whichever you can think of. It's inflammation in our body. As soon as we start our body from inflammation, there is no room for us to keep feeding the gene that it's causing having cancer.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with what you're saying. What are your thoughts on soy? It's a staple for so many plant-based diets. Do you feel that it's safe?
Based on what I have read, soy is so detrimental for our health. Why? Because unfortunately, food industry are using soy as a form of preservative on our foods. And I'm talking about ketchup. I'm talking about pasta. I'm talking about bread. I'm talking about soy sauce. Just to give you an example. So I have read about how soy is so bad for us because soy is linked to inflammation in our body. Mm-hmm. So I always explain to my clients that, hey, if you want to learn how to eat less of the standard American diet and more of whole foods, plant-based, let's also stay away from soy and let's also stay away from gluten foods. Yes, and as soon as it takes, I swear to you, Bernadette, it takes about 21 to 30 days for my clients to start seeing results. What are the main results they start seeing by changing their foods is that they start losing weight so beautifully. When I say beautifully, is that they don't starve. They are not like, oh my God, I'm so hungry and mm-hmm. and it's 7 o'clock and I'm hungry. No, I tell them to eat as much as whole foods as possible. More chickpeas, more legumes, more fruits, more seeds, vegetables. And also if they want it, for example, if they want to cook pasta, make sure that pasta is gluten free and make sure that pasta is soy free. Mm. And they start losing weight. They start sleeping so good. They start feeling like they even told me, Eva, ever since I changed my eating habits, I feel like I'm in the happy mood. Of course, because what put in your stomach, what you put in your microbiome, it has the power also to control how you feel. Because we have two brains in our body. Our brain is the brain that we all know, which is in our head, in the other brain, it's called the unforgotten brain, which is the microbiome. Mm-hmm. And those two brains are connected with what happens in one, it affects the other and the other way around.
Absolutely. Eva, we've got about 1 minute. What do you want? What are some of your final thoughts? We'll have to have you come back. But what are some of the final thoughts you want to get out today to our listeners?
I always tell my clients, I always tell my family, I always tell my community that people, we have the power to start those chronic illness. Like, for example, I get to see people every day at my office that they say, Eva, I need your help because my grandmother has died of cancer. My mother died of cancer. My sister last week has diagnosed with breast cancer. And guess what? I'm so afraid to do that. I don't know what to do. So my first sentence,
Cut you off. I hate when it happens. No,
it's okay.
Yeah.
But the power.
The power. There you go. That's how we'll end it for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Eva. Such a pleasure to have you on One Life Radio. Everyone out there listening.
It is my pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed the show. And remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life.